Soan explains about Dalit consciousness. Being at the same time a Dalit and a citizen of Savarna, India, produces what W.E.B. Du Bois called double consciousness. Du Bois was referring to the condition of the Afro-Americans. One of us feels his two-ness, an American, a Negro. Two souls, two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings, two warring ideals in one dark body, whose dogged strength alone keeps it from being torn asunder. Double consciousness splits the Dalit mentality and saps her self-respect. A people without self-respect can never dream of emancipation. A consciousness similar to that of black consciousness is imperative to overcome the double consciousness that grips the Dalit's nerves completely. Black appears undignified when perceived from a white perspective. To evaluate black, black criteria need to be employed. Dalitness does not indicate any deficiency born of origin or absence of anything. It is the effect of Savarna domination, devaluing everything that is Dalit. Dalit studies spring from Dalit consciousness. So first he is introducing the term double consciousness of W.E.B. Du Bois. Essentially, it means that dual self-perception experienced by subordinate or colonized groups in an oppressed society. So here he is referring to the condition of African Americans. To quote, one of us feels his two-ness. That is, one person is experiencing the dual personalities. One is he is an American, at the same time he is a Negro. So both are intersecting in one mind. So two-ness. And major themes centered associated with Du Bois are one is on racial inequality, then African American struggles, then social stratification, and also intersection of race and class. So here he's talking about African Americans. Same time he is an American, at the same time he is a Negro. So here two souls, two thoughts, and two reconciled strivings. So he had to fight hard too for his survival. There is two warring ideals in one dark body. So whose dogged strength alone keeps it from being torn asunder. So double consciousness splits her Dalit mentality and sap her self-respect. So here another point he is focusing is that whoever is able to to show self-respect, it's an important aspect. So if one is not able to show self-respect, he should never dream of, or one should never dream of his or her emancipation. So a consciousness similar to that of black consciousness, it's imperative to overcome the double consciousness that grips the Dalit's nerves completely. So he is a human being in the same society, at the same time he is also haunted by the ideals of oppression. So black appears undignified when perceived from a white perspective. To evaluate black, black criteria need to be employed. So Dalitness does not indicate any deficiency born of origin or absence of anything. It is the effect of Savarna domination, devaluing everything that is Dalit. That is, Dalit studies spring from Dalit consciousness. So at present, everything is evaluated from the view of or from the eyes of Savarna domination. Every culture, every narrative, every literature, everything is written or specified in terms of Savarna consciousness. So for a Dalit, if he wants to emancipate all this, or if he wants to come into the mainframe, or if he or she, that stream of studies should be included as a part of academic, it should be from the eyes of Dalit consciousness, or from the view of a or vision of a Dalit. So only then it will be valued among others. So now everything is perceived from a white perspective. So they never get the Dalit aspects. They appears to be undignified or never be accepted by the mainstream. So here we have to focus. It should arise from the Dalit consciousness. Dalit studies should spring from Dalit consciousness. So to evaluate a black or a black narrative, it should be from the black. It should be written by the black. So there in all criteria should be evaluated from the side of black people or Dalit people. So in this Dalit consciousness, here he is employing the term double conscious. They are always haunted by this dual consciousness, that two-ness in one. One is, he is also a human being. At the same time, he is oppressed as a Dalit. Next paragraph is the resurrection of Ambedkar's thought. The relevance of the thought of Ambedkar, who fought a lifelong battle for the protection and right to self-determination of Dalit, has increased in the Indian political context, where the clamor for a Hindu Rashtra that denies cultural diversity is becoming louder and louder. Like the ghost of Caesar, who pursued his assassins Brutus and Cassius, Ambedkar's thought has started shining forth increasingly. So Ambedkar was convinced that caste was rooted in the Vedas and Shastras, the sacred scriptures of the Hindus. Therefore, conversion to a non-Hindu religion was imperative for social mobility and for the annihilation of the caste system. So he criticized class politics for ignoring the fact of caste. He highlighted caste in order to transcend caste. His mission was the creation of an enlightened India, Prabuddha Bharat, constituted by people enjoying samadha or equality rather than by caste oppressed under inequalities. So what was the main aim of Ambedkar? It is the protection and right to Dalit people. So the measures adopted by Ambedkar is still shining today, like the ghost of Caesar, who pursued his assassins Brutus and Cassius. So there is a clamor for Hindu Rashtra. And also he is always says that caste was deeply rooted in the Vedas. So Vedas and Shastras, it was written by the dominant or the Brahmins, the dominant society. So these Vedas and Shastras are considered as the sacred scriptures of Hindus. So he is calling for a non-Hindu religion where caste does not exist. Then only they will be considered as equal to others. So therefore, conversion to non-Hindu religion was imperative for social mobility and for the annihilation of the caste system. So the total destruction of caste system is only possible if we have to find a non-Hindu religion. Their caste system doesn't exist. And he is also criticizing class politics for ignoring the fact of caste. And his mission was to create an enlightened India. Enlightened in India, other words, you can say Sreshta Bharat or Prabuddha Bharat. So it constituted by people enjoying samadha or innocence. So Prabuddha Bharat means equality to all. Both Dalit and the Savarna or the upper caste are considered as equal in the society, rather than by caste oppressed under inequality. So presently they are being oppressed. Inequality is there in all fields. So it should be driven out only with the help of a non-Hindu religion and also with the concept of Prabuddha Bharat or Samadha or equality to all. So the main reason behind the caste system is these Hindu scriptures, the Vedas and Shastras. So the relevance of the thought of Ambedkar is, it is the battle by Ambedkar. It is for the protection and right of each and every Dalit person. Next he is talking about the emergence of Dalit intellectuals and academics. So a committed group of Dalit consisting of teachers, students and activists is making its presence felt within and outside academia. It is the emergence of a willing academic community that facilitates the appearance of Dalit studies as a discipline. The old chalices in academia are inadequate for the new wine brewed from Dalit studies. As a result, Ambedkar study circles and Dalit study centers are cropping up all over the country. Remarkable are the contributions made by political friends like CDN, Service Society 1972, Indian Dalit Federation 1986, അധസ്ഥിത നവോത്ഥാന മുന്നണി ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ഫ്രണ്ട് ഫോർ ദ അഡ്വാൻസ്മെൻ്റ് ഓഫ് ദ ഒപ്രസ്ഡ് ഇൻ 1988 and 1989. ഇക്യുമെനിക്കൽ റിസർച്ച് സെൻറ്റേഴ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ക്രിസ്ത്യൻ ഇൻസ്റ്റിറ്റ്യൂട്ട് ഫോർ ദ സ്റ്റഡി ഓഫ് റിലീജിയൻ ആൻഡ് സൊസൈറ്റി CISRS ബാംഗ്ലൂർ. Then development agencies like Backward People's Development Corporation, BPDC, Tiruvalla, and Ambedkar Study Circle, Alappuzha, towards keeping alive an interest in Dalit studies. So beyond all these, there is a willing group of people consisting of teachers, students, and activities who nearly want to facilitate the appearance of Dalit studies as a discipline. So here is saying that the old challenges in academia are to be changed by the new wine brewed from Dalit studies. So these Dalit studies should be included in the mainframe of the curricula. Till now it is not written, means it is not included in the academia. So everywhere we can study the study circles of Ambedkar, who's saying his main aim is to a creation of an enlightened India, that is Prabuddha Bharat, that is constituted by people enjoying samata or equality. So a group of willing academic community is there to enhance all this. The old wine should be changed by the new brewed wine from Dalit studies. So the various organizations are, one is CDN, Service Society, 1972. Another one is Indian Dalit Federation in 1986. Then Adhisthita Navodhana Munnani, Front for the Advancement of the Oppressed. Then research centers like Christian Institute for the Study of Religion and Society, CISRS. Then agencies like Backward People's Development Corporation, Tiruvalla. Then Ambedkar Study Center. So all these organizations are keeping alive an interest in Dalit studies. They are a remarkable contribution in the field of Dalit studies. So aiming to pour new brewed wine in the old chalices of academia.